This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. But we got two voicemails that we're going to play on this show.
All right.
We got a couple stacking up, so we might be doing two. We might end up doing a whole show of voicemails eventually, which we could do that every now and then.
Yeah,
makes our job a lot easier. If we just had to take phone calls and just answer, we would have to do no show prep.
No, I understand why that's Dave Ramsey's model.
Yeah, he just sits down, takes phone calls, and he says, well, do the baby steps. How hard is that?
He gets to just waltz into his studio, whereas you and I are slaving away at putting together notes days in advance.
All right. Here's our first voicemail. I believe we have Loretta from Maryland.
Hi, my name is Loretta. I am having a question about my contribution to my 401k. I was told I should have it at least at 17.5%. I'd love to hear from somebody to help me out with that.
Where do you think she came up with this weird number of 17.5%?
I have no idea.
That's what confuses me about the question. Do you think there's a company match mixed in with that or something? Or
could
it's
be.
It's just a weird number.
It also could be the maximum based on her income level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we don't have quite enough information there, so we'll have to make some assumptions.
Yeah.
But remember, 401k contributions also max out eventually. Yeah. So that might be her precise percentage amount that would get her to that max.
Oh, look at you, Brainiac. So the max would be
my guess.
If she's under 50, it's $19,500 for this year, which is, I don't know what year you guys are listening to this, because trust me, these podcasts live infinite. So in 2020, it's $19,500. And then, of course, if you're over 50, you can do a catch up. So.
Right. So that would be my guess, is that she's looking at a percentage of her income that would get her to that max this year.
Right. Once again, we're going to go back to the baby steps on this. If you've done your emergency fund, your initial, you've paid off your debt, you've now paid off all your consumer debt, we're up to baby step four, which is fund at least 15%, which this obviously makes it. Then we go on and we start looking at paying off our mortgage and funding 529s for the kids and that sort of thing. So is what we want to do is we want to max out our 401k IRA at some point. So whatever it takes to get there, like you're saying, Amanda, if this is the number, you know, like you said, we don't have all the information on this.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other thing I want to say, Craig, about these 401k limits is that there's also some rules that come into play if you're considered what's called a highly compensated employee. So for 2020, if your compensation is greater than $130,000 a year, or you own more than 5% interest in the business sponsoring your plan during any point in the year, then you would be considered a highly compensated individual. And then, you know, you have to look at some contribution limits there that are different.
And you know what? We actually have a listener. She's a medical student over here in Baltimore. I think Johns Hopkins. She emailed me that same question. She didn't understand what that was. And because she's a medical student, they still make money as a resident or whatever. And she fell into that category. So had to find different ways to deal with her account. Yeah, she hit the limits. So her rules were different than everybody else.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of complicated. Yeah. And for highly compensated individuals, it can't be more than 2% higher than the average contributions made by non-highly compensated employees of the same business. So you have to have some help there. I mean, you're not going to know what that is. You'll have to have some information from your HR department and work with your tax advisor. But I did want to mention that. I'm not sure if we've mentioned it in the past before, and just wanted to put that out there since we have talked about limits before. I don't want people running into problems.
No, that's perfect, because we actually do have listeners that fall into that, what you just said, and I've helped out two of them. And I don't want to use her name, but shout out to her, because she keeps sending me questions. She's doing very well in school, and really proud of what she's doing. There's a whole backstory to how she got there and everything. So really proud of her. Moving on to the next voicemail. We got a twofer.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Alex. Just wanted to call and ask what your advice was for where do I put emergency fund money? Is that a high yield savings, or is that a money market, or do you keep a certain amount of cash? Thanks.
There you go, Amanda. This is an easy one for you. I didn't say, well, I didn't mean it that way. You can, I'll find you a more complicated one, but
no, I thought because you knew what I was going to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say. So I figured you've talked about this a lot. So I just wanted to give it to you.
Well, I was originally going to say it depends, but
there you go. Lawyer.
Yeah. So for me, it would depend on a couple of things. I would put my $1,000 baby emergency fund either as cash on hand or in something that is super liquid, like I could just go to the ATM and get it out.
Yes.
The rest of it I would put into a high yield savings account, or maybe I would consider money market account. Honestly, I don't think money market accounts are worth the hassle. They usually don't yield much more than today's high yield savings. So I usually just stick with those. And there's some really good ones that are available online. Like we've talked about Ally before, Marcus by Goldman Sachs, which is what I use. And there's a number of others out there as well.
And they're popping up every day. They're really competing against the banks.
Yeah. And you know what I noticed is that when one of them changes their interest rate, they all follow pretty quickly. So they're all pretty much the same interest rate.
The competition in the financial world right now is benefiting us. We just got to use a little bit of, we got to be a little cautious about what they're doing, because they always will win. So we got to be a little cautious about using some of these products. That's all.
Speaking of competition, did you see that Morgan Stanley is buying E-Trade?
Yes, because I still have an E-Trade account.
Now you're going to have a Morgan Stanley account.
I'm not proud of having an E-Trade account because it's not a great trading platform. When I feel like day trading, because I used to do it, I do have some money in there, and I literally, I know it sounds crazy, I treat it like a video game.
Yeah.
70% of people that day trade lose money. So yeah. I have this little bit of play money in there, and I go in there with the other day traders. We get in a chat room, and it's fun for about 45 minutes, because that's all day trading at last. It starts at 9:30 in the morning. And about 10:15, you're done. I know that sounds crazy, everybody. I do not recommend anybody doing day trading.
Yeah.
I will talk about what really goes on with day trading, but please don't buy the course. Don't buy the books. Don't do it. Yeah. If you're baby step 7 and you have a little bit of money, you want to play, it's like betting on racehorses. It literally is.
Yeah. But you just have to, it's entertainment money. So you're likely going to lose it.
you're competing against algorithms and computers these days, and some other issues, which I'll get into another thing. It's kind of scammy with these day trading course teachers, what they do. And I'll talk about that in a different episode. But anyway.
So would you do anything different for Alex, or do you agree?
No. I love all the answers you had. I love it.
All right.
I got a social media question for you.
Okay.
Hey, can I point out one thing about us?
Sure.
We're actually very hypocritical, and I'm going to come clean with everybody.
Okay.
I'm catching you off guard. We don't have notes for this, people. You know, we talk about never going into debt whatsoever, but this show is in debt.
What?
Well, no. You know, we make no money doing this.
Yeah.
We're buying gift cards for people. I bought you a microphone. You know, you have to host all the podcasts. There's a lot of money and time and effort goes into this. So hopefully, we're hoping that we will be ad supported in the future, but we're not going to charge you guys for this stuff. But isn't it kind of weird that we tell everyone?
Let's not say never, Craig.
I know. But Isn't it hypocritical that we tell people never go into debt and we're sitting here going into debt with this show?
Well, I'm not going into debt.
No, good point. You win. Yeah, I'm the one. But that's okay. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but.
So again, it's like your day trading hobby where you're just having fun.
On to the question. It's a lot of questions I'm juggling. I know I'm missing a few too.
Well, and that's why I say you're going to have to start setting some boundaries if you're going to be giving it away for free.
I'm going to start turning on my Google Assistant and have it answer the questions. Hopefully it gives the right answer. I think I can automate this somehow. I'm going to work on that. Hey, social media question for Amanda.
Okay.
So I have heard that you can use your 401k as a down payment on a house or pay medical bills or student loans. Is there any truth to that? Are you liable to pay it back? Or do you just get taxed and start over? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because the word is a loan. So yes, you have to pay it back.
Well, I think they've been told that I can just take the money out and not pay it back.
Well, okay.
But the IRS does not really like that. Yeah, so anyway, no, go ahead. The IRS
does not like that.
Yeah. Do you want to tackle this? Do you want me to talk about that? Or?
Well, I think we can tackle this one together. Yeah, go ahead. So yes, you can take a loan on your 401k for really a number of reasons or no reason at all. You do have to pay it back or you're going to be subject to penalties and, you know, taxes and penalties. Again, you're taking out one loan to create a second loan. So I don't think I would structure it like that. That to me, that sounds more like a Ponzi scheme. Craig, thoughts?
I have people contact me a lot about using their 401k to pay off debt. And I will never, you will never find me approve or give you advice to take money out unless you have to be like in the late stages of foreclosure, like they're getting ready to come down and kick you out, throw your stuff at the curb. You're kicking the can down the street. Never touch that 401k. You're damaging your future when you do that.
Yeah, I hate it. I know people who have done this and it drives me bonkers.
And I know there's a lot of people in this that listen to us, that are in our Facebook group, that take loans out from their 401k. It sounds like a good deal. I've sat in presentations.
Yeah, no, I've heard the argument. Oh, I'm just borrowing for myself. So whatever money I have to pay back, it's going back to me. Well, yeah, but there's an opportunity cost there as well. It means during that time period, you're also not making any money. And last year, the S&P was up 30%. Are you paying yourself a 30% interest rate? I don't think so.
Whoa, that was a little bit of a soapbox there. No, I get just as irritated. And like where I used to work in the fire department, they would do the presentation. I remember it. They make it sound like it's a great benefit. And they only charge you 1% for the loan on top of what you're losing. But they don't mention that part. Right. So a lot of people do it like, oh, I have money right there. I just borrow money.
So if you have some kind of unexpected thing like, you know, a cancer treatment or something that comes up, of course, there are some circumstances that might justify it. And 1% is certainly better than going to like a payday lender.
Right.
If you're one of those one of three people that we talked about last episode who's not making it paycheck to paycheck, you know, one of these days we should talk about payday lenders, Craig.
Oh.
But yeah, 1% is better, but it means you're also losing out on, you know, 12 to 30% in gains.
Right. And of course,
so it's really
we already have
you like 13 to 31%.
And hopefully you're going through your 3 to 6 months emergency fund before you do that. This is like a last resort thing. And you should have the proper insurance. We'll talk about different insurances as well.
I mean, there's so many problems with this question and not to pick on whoever asked the question.
Exactly.
I'm really glad that they did because there's a lot of things to talk about here. So if you are having to borrow to make a down payment on a house, you're not ready for a house.
Exactly. You know what? I believe that's actually what I told him. That was the first answer I said. Well, if you have to borrow money for okay, don't buy the house. You don't have the money for it yet. Medical bills and student loans, you need to work those off. You need to get a bigger shovel, get another job, work more hours, whatever it takes. Do not touch the 401k. At this level, you're not protecting the four walls of your house.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, you can use your 401k as a loan. Should you is the right question, and the answer to that is no.
Absolutely not. And I will haunt your dreams if you do it.
It sounds kind of stalkerish.
I know, but at least they LOL me back. Okay. If you do take the money out and you don't pay it back, it's equal to a 40% loan, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you got the 10% IRS tax on top of the regular income tax. Mm-hmm. It's just 40% loan. That's like going to a payday lender.
Yeah.
Or getting whole life, which is a whole other thing. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.